It's great to see each of you here today. I want to thank Douglas for playing along. He came to me and said, what's scripture reading for today? I said, it has to be Luke 10, right? Isn't that how all scripture readings go these days? It's funny, we spent Thursday with Edwin. He spoke at the junior high, and I had one of my girls with me. I'll let you decide which one it was. And he got in the car and said, why you always tell the same story when you start preaching? Edwin was like, well, that's a good question. And he gave a good answer, and it seemed to satisfy her. But boy, what a week we've had. And it's been a great week. It's been a taxing week on us logistically. It's been one of those weeks that kind of throws your schedule all completely out of whack. But even more so, it's just been difficult to process all that we've seen and all that we've heard, the wonderful lessons that we've been through. And then, you know, we go through things all the time that we find ourselves thinking, well, I really don't even know what to think about what I've seen, or did I really see what I think I saw, or, you know, if we witness something that it happens so fast that it's hard for us to really let it sink in, and we might ask the question, what just happened? what did I see? What did I really hear? What I think I heard? Did all of that really happen the way that I think it did? And I think it's appropriate for us to take some time and ask this question after the week that we've had, or really after the 2 weeks that we've had. We had Friends and Family Day on February 5th. We had 188 people. I made the comment and was just quoting from something Will said on that day. Look what happens when we just put just a little bit of effort into it. And then the following week, we had Edwin come and deliver a great series of lessons on loving our neighbor and taking love of our neighbor to the next level. And each night, you were probably thinking, this is really overwhelming. But then you didn't really have time to let it sink in and process it. Before the next night, you had another lesson that was probably equally as overwhelming. Usually, if we have a sermon that's hard to hear or something that we're worried about, how are we going to apply this? Like, what are the real implications of how my life needs to be different because of what we've seen in the Scriptures today? Usually, we get a week to process it, don't we? But we didn't really get that with the gospel meeting. And so I wanted to take some time for us today, and just for me to give a couple of recommendations about what should we do with the information that was presented to us this past week. What should be our next steps? I would assume that everyone in here would agree that we want to get better about loving our neighbors. Do we all agree to that? We all want to get better at that. And so how are we going to take what was presented to us throughout this past week, and how are we going to put it into practice in our lives so that we can be better at loving our neighbor? And so the first recommendation may sound silly when I first say it because of how simple it is, but the first recommendation that I would make would be to go back and listen to the lessons again. Randy does an absolutely amazing job of getting those lessons taken out of the recorder, posted on our website. They're usually there the night that they're presented, if not by the next day. And they're there for you and anybody else to listen to as many times as you want. And so if there was one lesson that you're wondering, what just happened? What did I just hear? Did I really hear him say what I think I heard him say? Did the Scriptures really teach that loving my neighbor means whatever it was, whichever lesson it was that you were having trouble with? Go back and listen to that lesson again. Listen to it several times over. You know, the as much as I harp on all the different devices and all the different things that you see people using these days, and how glued we are to those devices, they really do allow for some really cool ways to think about and meditate upon God's Word, don't they? They really give us some ways that we can do that. You are walking around, most likely, unless you're me, you're walking around with a miniature computer in your pocket, and that computer can link to our website. And so when you're driving in your car, if you've got to take somebody to Little Rock, or you got to go to Little Rock for some reason yourself, that's a sermon. You can listen to one sermon on your way to Little Rock. One of Edwin's sermons, I should clarify. One of Edwin's sermons you can listen to on a trip from Conway to Little Rock. Use the time that we have. Use the resources that we have to go back and listen to those lessons again. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to be here every night. I know some of you weren't as fortunate. You weren't able to be here every night. Things happen, and we understand that, and Edwin certainly understands that. You may have missed one of the lessons, and it may have been a crucial piece to you understanding more fully the series as a whole and what it was trying to accomplish. Well, go back and listen to the lesson that you missed. Let's listen to these. Sometimes when we're sitting at our desk, if we don't have a lot of things going on, we can sit there with pen and paper, and we can really listen actively and start trying to map out some kind of game plan, action plan for our lives, for our families' lives, as it pertains to the things that we've talked about this week. Loving our neighbors. For one, I'd never before made the connection that the passage that the lawyer was quoting was from Leviticus 19 and gone through that analysis. That was brand new to me. And so it was impossible for me to get all of that, to really fully comprehend all of that in the time that Edwin was able to stand here and present that to us. And so I want to go back and listen to that lesson again. And I want to listen with just an attitude of being a sponge to soak in everything that he had to say and everything that the Scriptures has to say about loving my neighbor. So that would be the first recommendation, to listen to those lessons again. The second recommendation that I would have for you would be to try to determine your talent. I don't know how you would go about doing that other than just thinking and meditating and praying. Maybe you take some kind of personality test that helps you try to figure out which one you are. But Edwin gave us seven kinds of good. He presented this to us and he said there are discerners and there are servants and there are teachers and there are exhorters and sharers and leaders and givers of mercy. Figure out what your strengths are. Because in some ways, what usually ends up happening, at least as far as I'm concerned and in my own life, if I'm not really solid on which ones of these are my strengths, then I end up letting opportunities and situations fly by me only later in the day or later that evening to realize, I let an opportunity slip right through my fingertips because I didn't see myself as that. When I can be that, if I just started thinking about it with a little bit more purpose and I started looking for opportunities with a little bit more intent, I can be some of these things, and maybe I have some strength in these ways that I'm not exercising and making even stronger in my life. I know it was a humorous kind of story that he was telling, or different illustrations that he was giving, but how true is it when we run into a situation where someone is in need of someone to share, and we say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm a teacher. Not a sharer. If you had met a sharer, then they would have been able to help you with that situation. And I'm sorry, that's just not me. If you want me to teach you something, I'd be happy. You know, and through, he gave a couple of different illustrations about that. But and while they were humorous and made us laugh, how true is that? We run into situations and we let opportunities pass right by us because we don't really know who we are. Are we a hand? Are we a foot? Are we a leg? Are we an arm? What are we? What part of the body are we? What kind of good has God put inside of us, wanting us to use for His glory? What kind of good has He put in you that He wants you to use for His glory? And once you have your mind wrapped around who you are, and what your abilities are, what your strengths are in the body of our Lord, then do something. If you haven't been doing anything, then do something. And that was something that really resonated with me. That phrase, just do something. Do something with the abilities that you have. Do something with the strengths that you have. And ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you figure out what your strengths are, which part of the body you are. And then ask God to help you not only have opportunities to exercise those strengths, but ask God to put opportunities in your way, but also to have the ability to recognize those opportunities when they come. To recognize those opportunities. And if we're going to pray and ask God to give us opportunities, we've got to be ready to answer when He most certainly will do what we've asked Him to do in that area. Show us. Show us somebody who needs teaching today. Show us somebody who needs to be served today. Show us someone who needs to be exhorted today. Show us someone who needs to be given mercy today, and help us to have the good sense to recognize that opportunity when it presents itself so that we can go about loving our neighbors. So listen to those lessons again, and then try to spend some time determining what your talent and what your ability is, and then to identify any self-justifications that you may be using that are getting in the way of you loving your neighbor with this kind of love that we've been talking about this week. The kind of love that the Samaritan showed. The kind of love that really is a representation of the love that Jesus showed to us when we were beaten and left half dead on the side of the road. Ask God to reveal in you any of the self-justifications that have caused you to not act in the past. Any self-justifications that would prevent you from being able to recognize opportunities to act in the future. Ask God to look deep into your heart and to reveal in you the things that are getting in the way of you loving your neighbor. David prays this in Psalm 139. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." It takes a lot of guts to pray that prayer. It takes a lot of guts to say to God, "Search deep within me and to reveal anything that is hurtful. Any sinful thought, any sinful behavior, any just horrible attitude that I may have, any ounce of pride or foolishness that exists within me, Lord, search my heart and let me know what's inside." That can be a scary thought, can it? That can be a scary thought. We talked in Mark chapter 7 this morning about all those things that Jesus says come from the heart. I made a bold prediction in our class. I made a bold prediction that nobody in our class was ever going to commit murder. I just feel that. I feel like we got a good group of kids. Eli was less confident. He was about 85% confident that that wouldn't happen. But I just don't think. I don't think the kids that we've got, any of them will become murderers. I really don't think any of them will commit adultery. I have confidence in them that they understand the marriage covenant and understand that stepping outside of the marriage covenant is wrong, and that they're not gonna go down that path. But you know what we all had to do this morning? We all had to confess that we've deceived people. We all had to confess that we've had pride. We all had to confess that we've done some foolishness. We participated in some foolish things. And so then to go to God and just ask Him to search out your whole heart and reveal all of that to you so that you can put it away, it takes a lot of guts to pray that prayer, a lot of humility to pray that prayer. But if we're going to love our neighbors, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we need to pray that prayer. We need to pray that prayer and figure out what it is that could possibly be getting in the way of us loving our neighbors. Is it that we don't have enough information? Is it that it can't be proven to us that we have to love that one? And is it because we're afraid of doing the wrong thing? Is it because somebody might take advantage of us? Is it because we don't even understand what a good steward means? And so because of our faulty understanding of what it means to be a steward, we don't want to be a poor steward and share with someone who doesn't need to enjoy that sharing. What about the fact that they got themselves into this mess? Is this attitude that I have about them getting into this mess on their own and they need to get out of it on their own? Is that getting in the way of me loving my neighbor? What about the fact that I don't even know this person? How could they possibly be my neighbor? As you listen to these lessons again and as you determine the talent and abilities that God has put inside of you that He expects you to use for His glory, don't forget this one. Don't forget to pray this prayer and ask Him to help you see the hurdles and the barriers that are in your way right now from you being able to love your neighbor. And to do that to the glory of God, to be pleasing to Him in all things. I really just have been amazed at the Scriptures that have been opened to us this week. I've been amazed at the reaction to it. I'm proud of all of us for the attitude and spirit that we've shown in showing up to hear these lessons, the attitude and spirit that we've shown in inviting others to come and hear these lessons. Now we got to figure out what just happened and process it and figure out how we're going to change and be different as a result of it. Go back and listen to those lessons again. Try to identify which one you are, which abilities and talents you've been given, and how you need to use those to do something for the kingdom. And ask the Lord to help you remove any obstacle in your way that would prevent you from doing what the lawyer, Jesus, everybody around agreed is the right thing to do, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And to take that love to the next level, to love the way Jesus loved us, and to do that for everybody that we see, everybody that we know, recognizing that everyone that we come into contact with has been created by God and was valuable enough to God for Him to send Jesus to die on the cross for them. He didn't just do that for you, He did that for them. And if He was valuable enough to God, that person needs to be valuable enough to us. To show and share the love of the Savior by the way that we treat our friends and our neighbors and our family. That's a really simple list of recommendations. Any one of you could have probably come up with that list. But I just wanted to stand before you and encourage you to take more time than the time that we've gotten to go back through and to try to soak up everything that we can from this series and to put it into practice in our lives. And so now you've heard what I've had to say about the meeting and about how I think we should proceed. Tonight at 5 o'clock, I want to hear what you have to say. And we're going to use our time tonight to share what the meeting meant to you and how you plan to process it and put it into practice in your life. And so be thinking about that. And be thinking about how you can encourage other people in our body here by what you would have to share about what you've learned and what you plan to do with the lessons that we've received this week. Well, if you're here this morning and you're not part of God's family, won't you come to the Lord now? Won't you surrender your life to Him? Won't you give up the passions and desires that you have in this life and stop pursuing those things so that you can pursue only Jesus and that you'll adopt His passions and His desires and His will for your life? If you're here this morning and you feel alone, bloodied and half beaten on the side of the road because you just can't overcome sin in your life, there's a Savior who came along and offered to pick us up and offered to nurse our wounds and to heal our scars and to take care of us and to wash us from our sins. His name is Jesus, and He's made the same offer of care and protection and forgiveness to you that He's made to those of us in this room who've accepted that precious gift. And if you want to wear the name of Jesus and you want Him to heal you of your wounds, you want Him to wash your sins away, then you just need to come to Him and believe and trust that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, that He has not only the ability but the willingness to cleanse your heart and purify your sin. Be buried with Him in a watery grave of baptism to have your sins washed away so God can raise you to walk in new life, a new life that He expects us all to be zealous for good deeds, because it is the very workmanship in which He has created us in Christ Jesus. He has created us to do good works and to be fruitful. And the expectation is there for all of us to be fruitful in this life. Fruitful for Him. Doing good deeds and good works for those who desperately need them, but because they desperately need Him too. And so if you're ready to make that full commitment to Jesus this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.